All right, it started. All right.
Recording? So, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so welcome to the first podcast for Daikaiju Eiga Discussions.
Nice.
My name is Derek. I'm here with Bryant.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So for today's discussion, we're going to be talking about the Godzilla anime trilogy.
Yep.
It came out in the beginning of last year and finished, I think, the beginning of this year. No, it first came out in, was it 2017?
Yeah, 2017. No, 17. Yeah,
it came out in 2017 and finished this year, 2019.
Or yeah. 2019 with Planet Eater in January.
Yeah, the first entry to the series was Planet of Monsters. The second one was
City on the Edge of Battle.
Yeah, and the last one was The Planet Eater.
Yeah.
Now, right. The way we're going to talk about this is we're going to discuss it as a whole. I mean, we're going to discuss it at each separate individual film, but mostly as a whole. Like, overall storytelling, overall what we thought about it, what we liked, what we disliked. From what I remember, we have differing opinions on it. You liked it a little, or liked it more than I did. You liked it more than I did. I didn't like it much at all.
All right. Hey, no problem.
Much at all. So why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell me what you liked about it?
I mean, I know a lot of people didn't like it because it's a little less action than maybe they wanted or anything, or maybe even expected. From just animation, right? But I mean, I'm down with whatever the director, whoever wanted, expressing whatever vision they had for Godzilla and anime, or just what for this whole series. I thought it was cool. It's different. We need cool and different, or else we're gonna get a little stale from a series that's just gonna put out the same old boom. You know what I'm saying? If every movie is a banger, if every movie has got tons of action, then overall it's just not going to be too good. But as it stands, even then, this was interesting enough that I thought it had a good thing to say. It was worthwhile. So just kind of my overall, I guess, thoughts right now on the whole thing.
And what would you say it had to say? What was the message of the movie?
Okay, overall, for the whole series, I think there's a different message for both the second and third. The first one, I'm not sure if I got much of it right. It's kind of the introduction to the whole world. For the second, I mean, it was about Haruo, the main character. For the whole first movie, he's trying to kill the heck out of Godzilla. He hates the guts, right? Eventually sees, I guess, to maybe move a little bit more past just being blinded by that, because, I mean, he could have turned himself metal with the bullet saludo to go ahead and, put an end to him, but that would, of course, have screwed over the whole planet to a metal city, which, it's not ideal. So then in the second one, or the third one, I'm sorry, he goes into still, he's like, well, I chose not to go ahead and condemn the world to a worse fate, but I'm still going to go after the big G. But even after that one, he sees, it goes a bit more from him going to try to, stop Godzilla to him now dealing with the whole Exif. His friend, what was his name?
Metfies,
that's right. Dealing with that. And, Metfies having this whole kind of screwed up outlook, which at the same time, screwed up as it was really wacky, but interesting as well. Just this whole devotion he had to Ghidorah and stuff.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I wasn't really looking for straight up monster battles the whole way through. One of my issues with this movie, with this series, was that, it's not the first anime that was produced, but it's the first one that's produced in this sort of magnitude where you can do this sort of thing. And I feel like it was a wasted opportunity, really. Like,
yeah,
they presented us, I mean, they followed the same trope as every other Godzilla movie. Don't show Godzilla until the last 5 minutes of the movie or so. Or actually, I think Toho has always followed a different formula for each of the Godzilla movies, but other people might think different. Like, for instance, there's a beginning sequence where you see Godzilla, but it's not much. Then there's a middle sequence. Right. If he's battle another monster, he'll battle another monster.
Right, and right.
There's an end battle. There's always at least three separate times or more that you actually see Godzilla. Like, I know a bunch of movies that do that. But as far as, you know, this one, I mean, I guess between each of the movies, you could say the Planet of Monsters was the beginning, the City on the Edge of Battle was the middle, and Planet Eater was the ending. So it follows the same status quo, but at the same time, it's if you consider it as one movie, follows that formula.
But
its own individual format, it didn't really work too well, because once again, you had this opportunity to introduce, you know. Okay, for instance, Planet of Monsters, the beginning introduction should have been the movie. From what everybody, I mean, I think most people can agree that the beginning sequence should have been the entire movie. Like, it should have been a city thing. Show us the moment that forced humanity to leave Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
moment, like, the whole opening sequence discussed the whole monsters, you know, raiding until Godzilla himself, the biggest, baddest one of them all, came around, blew up Hario's ship. By that point, they had to leave. They didn't really show him, if what you're talking about is the whole coming down of human civilization.
Yeah.
That wasn't really shown.
Yeah, like, the beginning sequence, you could have just made a movie with that, and the other two, like, it could have even been a quadrilogy if they wanted to do it. But going off of this series itself, I guess we should start with the plot for anybody who hasn't seen it. Basically, the entire movie goes like this. Humanity is sent on the brink of, well, they quite literally have to leave the planet because it's overrun with monsters.
Yeah.
The biggest and baddest monster of them all, Godzilla, shows up, defeats all the other monsters, but we don't see that.
Yeah.
And because they can't beat him, nobody is able to defeat him. They even get, you know, aliens from outer space, the Bilisaluto and the Exif, to come
to, of course, try to cooperate, but it's also to kind of no avail, basically. Yeah, not really. Either way, they still have to end up going off-world, just because, I mean, the Exif, Bilisaluto, tried as they did. I think the biggest thing they had, of course, was Mechagodzilla, but that failed as well, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't even start. And I have an issue with that, too. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Godzilla, you find that disappointing?
Godzilla could have been... I'm talking about for Planet of Monsters, where there was like, Mechagodzilla won't start. You get advance notice that Godzilla's showing up. You didn't think to activate it or try to activate it ahead of time before he actually got there. But that's just me. That's just my version of common sense. But yeah, they're forced to leave. They spend 20 years out in space, which I have another issue with, because, okay, they spend 20 years out in space. The Bilisaluto and the Exif came from space. You mean to tell me in between the time that it took them to get from their planet to ours, they didn't see any, you know, suitable planet that humanity can live on in order and would have been able to tell humanity in the first place, yeah, you can live here. But humanity leaves Earth with the aliens, goes into outer space, and they spend 20 years in space trying to find a suitable planet to live on. After it's a futile effort, apparently. So the commanders in chief, the commanders in office decide, okay, the only option now is to go try to go back to Earth and see if things have changed, see if it's gotten worse, see if Godzilla's still there. They do it. Right. Of course, Godzilla's still there.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and explain a little further?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's still there. The whole planet at this point, they see all the, mostly the flora, right? The plants, it's based off his own kind of genetic structure or suited to live around him, right? Based off him. Now all the plants are, you know, metal sharp, like basically, I know, akin to Godzilla, where they're like really tough. Bunch of tough wildlife and monsters and plants cover the whole goddamn planet. And yeah. So of course they see that. They I think they, what was it? They get into their military vehicles. They look around, hear Godzilla's roar. Of course, this is you know, by this point it's still the Godzilla Phileus, which is just a 200 foot tall, a smaller Godzilla. They don't know that the big one that kind of drove them off Earth is still around. They're actually seeing the sun right now. They think they're the same one, right?
Yeah, they think the one that's roaming the Earth at the moment that they show up is the same Godzilla that drove them from the planet to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
We're forgetting a plot point. The whole reason that they decide to, you know, go back to Earth and fight Godzilla is because Haruo.
Yeah.
Sakaki is his name. Captain Haru Sakaki.
Yeah.
He you know, spent the entire time in space devising a plan to defeat him based on collected data that he really wasn't supposed to have, but Mephis, the priest, the Exif priest, and his friend helped him get the data, and, you know, he devised a plan to defeat Godzilla and possibly bring humanity back to Earth, because he feels like humanity's pride was taken away when they chose to run away from Godzilla instead of do everything they can to fight him. Even though 150 nukes is everything you can do.
Right. I mean, once they developed Mechagodzilla, I guess that kind of should have been, I don't know, a little bit specialized to go ahead and deal with him. I don't know, maybe he himself would have thought that there was a little bit of potential in that kind of weaponry or whatever. There of course was. I mean, just in the city, that was able to do some damage to him. So, of course, then you're right, though. The nuke that they threw a crazy amount of him on in the middle of the United States, right?
I believe it was 150. I mean, the whole planet is decimated with radiation and everything else. But, you know, after 20 years.
Thousand years.
Well, they don't find out it's been 20,000 years until they actually do carbon dating and everything else. At first, they thought it was 10,000. Then they found... 10,000. Then they found out it was 20,000. But they go to Earth. Godzilla's there. They fight him using their... I don't know what they call the bike jets.
The jets? The vultures?
No, that's in the second one. They had the bikes that they speed flew around.
Something like that.
The flying speed bikes. Let's just call it that.
Sure. Flying speed bikes.
They use those to attack Godzilla to lure him to an area where, you know,
They use the plan, which of course I think Haru devised in his using his data, which he got from the ship, which he wasn't supposed to have, as you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they of course used that. They buried him under a ton of rubble, right? And And they basically get to go ahead and actually, you know, through some kind of EMP, block atomic ray. You know what happens, right? You want to go ahead and say it?
Yeah, they use the EMP to, you know, break down his shield. And then it explodes, blowing off his dorsal fins and, I guess, overcharge his radioactive power. And he explodes on himself, similar to the way that it was done in GMK. It's very similar to that, actually. They make him explode on himself because he tries to use the heat beam or radioactive heat ray, whatever you want to call it.
Atomic breath.
Atomic breath.
That implodes him, of course.
It blows
and
him.
Talking about that, I felt like that trope in itself is becoming something that I might not want to see again in a Godzilla movie, just because I think we've seen it 3 times in a row now. We saw them do it with Shin Godzilla. I mean, with Shin Godzilla, it was like a whole plan, like just the whole concept of a whole plan. You have this machine, this and there, put something in his mouth or his rays or whatever that eventually makes him stand still or die or whatever it is, right? They did that with Shin Godzilla at the end. They did it, of course, with Planet of the Monsters. We just talked about that. Made his EMP blow himself up or whatever. And going into City of the Edge of Battle, at the end of that movie, they did it on a bigger scale. The thing that they used to kill the Godzilla in the first anime movie.
Yeah, that was another problem I had with City on the Edge of Battle, is that they just did the exact same thing again.
Well, I mean, if it worked, right? I mean, thinking about it from an in-universe, you know, perspective, if it worked, it worked the first time. Why would they not go ahead and try the same thing? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that you want to try it again because it worked the first time. But in City on the Edge of Battle, which we'll get to, there was an opportunity for so much, and they just skipped right over that. There was like,
Really? Could you explain maybe what you're speaking about and the potential that you thought was, you know, kind of glossed over in that movie?
In City on the Edge of Battle, there was a discussion, you know, they even discussed, can Mechagodzilla rebuild itself? The Bilisaluto.
All right.
Yeah, we could rebuild it.
Yeah.
But we don't need to. With what we have now, we don't need to. And it's like, and then it's also Metfies had, you know, given them the notion that this Godzilla is bigger than the one that was there before.
Right.
So if Mechagodzilla did regenerate itself into the size, it would still be too small to have any effect on the bigger one.
Right.
I call bullcrap on that because of the fact that it's nanometal. It can make itself bigger.
Right. One thing I was thinking, I just remembered that as well. It's like I was watching it, and the whole time I was watching it as well, I was also like, so, you know, I was just hoping that Mechagodzilla was gonna, you know, of course, show up, even at the last maybe a few seconds or whatever, just because they did the whole thing where they're like, oh yeah, we can rebuild him, its form, a fighting form, right, not just the city. But of course that never happened, and I, you know, I almost had a sneaking suspicion that it wouldn't, but, you know, of course it didn't happen, which I can see why. I mean, if they brought it up and they didn't do it, of course it was unsatisfying.
Well, not only that, but it was false marketing, to be honest, because the trailers and the posters, well, not the trailers, but the posters in themselves presented this as a movie where Mechagodzilla will be there, present. They even made a toy for him.
A toy, yeah.
Figure.
A figure.
I'm using realistic terms here. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's all right.
I don't really speak in fan mode.
Fan mode? Oh, okay. Sorry if I am. Of course, now you're kind of using that.
You're cool. Like, it's just, I know most people would be like, no, it's not called a toy. It's called a figure.
Right. Well,
but I'm like, it's a toy.
Whatever.
But They did all this promotion for Mechagodzilla, only to not have Mechagodzilla in the movie. Or they had him as a gigantic city. A city that, you know, compared to Godzilla, was almost as big as him. So you mean to tell me that it couldn't fuse together to make a fighting form big enough to fight him? I don't think so. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, even the city itself, I guess, was programmed at that point to go ahead and copy the whole plan from the other movie, where they dive two spears that puts an EMP inside him that would kind of make him implode or whatever from the inside. I mean, like I'm like I said before, I always think of it as, well, why is this happening in universe? Why does it make sense in universe? And that's just the way I want to make sense of it. Like, all these, anything you can critique, I'm sorry, about a movie, I don't know, I just kind of think, well, why, is, you know, I think in universe, basically, or try to find excuses to why it makes sense, just to satisfy the experience for myself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. People will try to, you know, devise ways to figure out why they chose, why the director chose to do something a certain way.
Right.
The reality of it is the studio behind the series, you know, told the director no monster fights.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was a big story when the movies were coming out. I guess they had to give some sort of explanation. It was like, you know, we were told no monster fights.
Right.
So it's right. Like, really?
I mean, okay. I guess Toho, why would you think Toho would go ahead and, you know, kind of make that decision? I'm guessing it's because sooner or later, right, they have the World of Godzilla series cinematic universe planned out, where they basically trying to do the MCU kind of thing a bit more with Godzilla in one movie, Mothra maybe in the next. I'm imagining there's going to be fighting in that. And they want to deliver more. They want to make more of an impact with those, that next upcoming series, right? At the expense maybe of movies coming out before that comes out by, you know, of their production as well. You know, those movies coming out maybe right now, like the anime trilogy. I mean, like I was saying at the start of this chat, maybe they don't want to tire out, you know, just the fandom or viewers if who are just going to already, who already saw, you know, huge monster fights in all the last movies. They want to save that up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And they also wanted to, you know, make this accessible to non-fans, like general audience, like people who are not Godzilla fans. They wanted to make it accessible and understandable to...
The anime trilogy?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean...
It was a series that wasn't really made for the fans. They wanted to pander to a different audience.
Right, right. I mean, even then, if they want to try to be philosophical at sometimes with it, sort of give a message or whatever, I'm thinking that the general audience, just as much as any fan, is going to want to have some, you know, action in there, of course. Or else they're yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
right. That's just how people are. That's just tastes.
Yeah, like I watch reactions to the new Godzilla trailer for King of the Monsters.
Right.
I watched that for the final trailer. I watched people's reaction to that. And the non-Godzilla fans are like, this is what we wanted to see in 2014, in the other one. This is exactly what we wanted to see. So it's not so much of give us something different. Just make sure that something different works. Like,
I mean, speaking of that too, like I said at the beginning, it's all about maybe whatever vision the director, whoever it may be, has. I mean, if they wanted something a bit less action oriented, more introspective, then I'm at least happy that they tried to go ahead and do it. If it didn't work for some people, I guess it didn't work. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who I think did, you know, find something of substance in it, which I guess is what they were achieving. And if it could do it for somebody, then, hey, I think they went ahead and did their, or they achieved the goal, which I think is cool, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that the movies were made. I mean, a Godzilla movie is better than no Godzilla movie. So,
of course. Yeah. Definitely.
To be honest, I didn't find anything philosophical throughout the entire trilogy. And, you know, I try to find people who can explain, like, a philosophical thing in a way to make it make sense. But so far, I'm just like, okay, you're making things up that were not present. I like to go by what's presented in the movie. And what's presented in the movie is the Planet of Monsters is about a man going on blind rage and
driven by revenge, kind of like
driven
Captain
by
Ahab.
Revenge. Yeah,
Captain Ahab, Moby Dick,
Captain
type
Ahab,
thing.
Moby Dick, and everything. And it's like, how should I explain this?
You know,
he's willing to get everybody killed. And I'm going off the first one. He's willing to get everybody killed, even though they didn't. They might not have wanted to. They just wanted to go home. They just wanted to get a new home. And he's like, all right, but first, we got to kill this.
Why? Yeah.
The world is, like, humongous, and Godzilla is at least, you know, a certain percentage. Not only that, but when they got to Earth, like you said before, the Earth is pretty much uninhabitable. So how is it that, or what is your opinion to the fact that once they got there and found out that it was uninhabitable, they didn't immediately just be like, all right, we can't live here either.
it's
no longer sustainable.
Right, I see. What they were also, one thing that they said in that movie, of course, was that we could settle on the moon, maybe go Earth once in a while, pick up supplies, whatever material, bring it back to the moon, they could settle there, right? That was one thing that I remember that they specifically brought up, right? When they, of course, saw that the world was full of monsters and basically uninhabitable, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess the reason Haru was even still against that was because, you know, the guy's driven by going ahead and getting back that a pride for humanity as a whole, right? To go ahead and kill the guy that kicked him off the planet and, you know, if possible, maybe then later on, see if they can repopulate, recolonize the whole planet Earth, basically. Impossible as it may have seemed, maybe if there was a little bit of a chance that it could happen, maybe he was thinking more about it could than if it's even probable, right? And again, the whole theory with, or the whole proposition that I think one of the characters had, going on the moon, selling there, I thought that had merit, right? Because, or I thought that could work as well. I was thinking, I mean, sure, there's still organic material on Earth, water, all that. There's a big ocean and maybe some plants that aren't, you know, razor metal sharp. I think that, I feel like that would have been maybe a good course to go ahead and do that. And maybe, you know, like I said, stay on the moon, get materials from Earth. And if they wanted to kill Godzilla, you know, to go ahead and get those materials, maybe, I don't know, I think that could have been a worthwhile endeavor to go ahead and eventually, you know, stay on the moon.
Yeah, you could have done all that. But I just feel like Haruo's character was a little too driven by revenge that he didn't see anything else besides that. Like, you present him a planet that's basically adapted to Godzilla, enable the characteristics. There are still monsters flying around and everything. And
right,
it's like, okay, even if we kill Godzilla, how can we live here? Like, how there, everything is crystallized and fossilized. How can we grow plants? I mean,
yeah.
Is the water drinkable?
Yeah, that's true. The Hotua went ahead and did that. They were kind of a species of humanity that went ahead and, you know, went ahead and, of course, lived there. And I mean, the humans, they're walking around there. It seems like more habitable than maybe a whole bunch of other planets out there in the whole cosmos. So, I mean, if there was somewhere they were going to stay, then I guess it would be there, as hard as it may be, still possible. Anywhere else, it's just going to take a long time to find. And maybe, you know, it's space, so you never, it's possible that there's not even another planet out there, so.
Right. And like, did
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I was going to say that as hard as it may be to stay on Earth, it's the most comfortable place they, or the most comfortable option that I think I'd want to go ahead and go with. Just stay close to the planet instead of going out in space, perhaps on a wild goose hunt where there might be no planets out there that are even habitable at all.
Yeah, which begs the question, like I stated before, if the aliens before coming to Earth were drifting in space and saw no inhabitable planets, why didn't they mention that?
Why didn't they mention that?
Why didn't they tell the humans, this is a wasted effort. We've traveled galaxies and everything, and there's nothing out there. There's no sustainable planet.
Wasn't the thing that they had come from their worlds, which were ravaged by, I think it was in this case for the Exif Ghidorah, right? I don't know what it was for the Bilosoluto, maybe some other kind of monster. But they came, I'm guessing that they came straight from their world and then found Earth, right? And they settled on Earth and, of course, tried to help them out with their monster problem. But when Earth fell, I guess there was no more other worlds. I mean, I guess they just found Earth, and that's where they kind of stayed. They didn't find other worlds, but like they found Earth, I guess they could have assumed that there was a possibility that there were more inhabited worlds. And, I mean, the Exif, I think, too, might have known that there were, that there could be a lot more planets with life than any of the other humans of Bilosoluto thought, because of course this whole time they've been sacrificing worlds and their kind of, you know, whatever monster would inhabit them to their god Ghidorah.
Yeah, that may be true. One theory is, you know, one theory that I can think of at off the top of my head is that they presented in the movie that each of the alien races had, you know, intentions of their own. Like the Bilosoluto wanted to turn the planet into metal or nanometal.
Mechanize it.
For them. Yeah, mechanize
not it. Even, I don't know if suitable for them, like anything suitable for them, right? But what they wanted to do is make it specialized, kind of make it a hive mind, one mind type thing where they're all a connected machine, which,
right,
you know, to a human would suck, right?
Right.
You want your individuality, not just that.
Right. And the Exif wanted to sacrifice it to Ghidorah outright.
Uh-huh. I'm guessing the Exif have found planets that were inhabited perhaps multiple times before, and this is just another one. They're just going along with it, pretending that they don't think there's other worlds out there. And I'm guessing the Bilosoluto just kind of, you know, screwed over their world, and I just found Earth, and it's the only other world with life that they found in particular.
Well, no, the Bilosoluto are reminiscent of the aliens from the
Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 1 show.
Yeah, yeah, 74. That one. So yeah, their planet was destroyed by a black hole.
Or a black hole, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, even
the Exif sacrificed themselves.
But they, I remembered in Monster, or the Planet Eater, they had mentioned that other civilizations, other worlds, they had done the exact, they had done it to multiple planets, hadn't they? Sacrificed a whole bunch of them to King Ghidorah, where, you know, those planets would develop some kind of monster like Godzilla, which would, I guess, overthrow the whole civilization.
Well, I don't know the validity in there were other planets with other monsters, but the Exif's, when their planet was, you know, consumed by Ghidorah or whatever, they sent, you know, a small group to different planets so that those planets can be sacrificed as well. And I don't know if there was more priests, Exif priests sent than the older one in Metfi's. I think there were only two, but I could be wrong. But I didn't notice any more. So they go in pairs and to different planets. And I guess in Planet Eater, the Metfi's served their mission. Because, yeah, they and it wasn't even on Earth. Like, what would be the reason to sacrifice Earth to Ghidorah?
Just for the heck of it, they adore the destruction that he causes or whatever. Or they think that the whole purpose of the universe or of every planet that has life in the universe is to be offered to Ghidorah, who's a more perfect sort of being, basically. So, I mean, that's why they did it. That's the whole purpose of it. Doesn't matter if it... The quality of the planet, I guess, didn't matter at that point. It's just as long as Ghidorah gets to eat, then they're satisfied.
Nah, that's a good point. I can go with that. What do you think about the characteristics of each of the, or not characteristics, character development of each of the actual characters in all of the movies? Like, we know Haro was a revenge-driven person.
Right.
Do you feel like his character development improved throughout the series?
I would guess so. I mean, by the time Planet Eater rolled around, his whole, even the people he trusted, I was kind of seeing, it was thrown out, it was thrown for a loop, right? Because he finds out about Metfi's whole crazy intentions, right? By then, I guess, you know, I think for the other movies, they had developed them as, you know, a little bit close, kind of friends. They talked, well, weirdly, you know, considering Metfi's whole dialect and, you know, phrases, right? And right. But towards the end of that, I don't know. I don't know if I saw as much of that revenge-driven, you know, kind of fury in Haro that he maybe had in Planet Eater. It was more of a confused sort of guy where it's like, oh, everything I knew is, or this guy that I knew for a long time, it's all kind of a sham, or basically.
Not even this guy, to be honest. It's everything that he thought he knew was
all for
a lie.
Right.
There's even a point in Planet Eater where Metfi's, you know, travels through Haro's mind and shows him the atomic bomb and all kinds of other images saying humans been destroying themselves long before Godzilla came.
Right. So I mean, like, if anything, that's something that a lot of Godzilla movies have kind of gone over. I'm glad. I like it when the movies go back to kind of the roots of the whole thing, like anti-nuclear weapons message. It's all cool, in my opinion. It's all a good, like I said, it's a cool message to go have just because it's where the series is coming from to begin with.
Right. But, as far as Harwell's character development goes, in the first movie, he was revenge-driven. In the second one, he was still revenge-driven, but
he
gave people a choice to follow him. Whereas before it was, no, we're going to do this whether you like it or not. The second one is like, okay, I messed up the last time. We succeeded, but I got a lot of people killed. Now, I'm going to give you a choice whether you want to follow me or not. You can go back up to the atrium, or what I would call it, atrium. I don't know how to pronounce that name. The ship in space. You go back to the ship, or we can continue the fight. Because I think if we do this again, it'll work. Based off the Billy Saludo's idea, it will work again. But you have a choice. and everybody chose to stay.
Right.
And luckily, only three people actually got actually fought. So no, everybody didn't get killed.
I mean, I also think, I mean, just one other character to talk about character development for people. I think with Met Fees himself, it was also really interesting to see. I mean, he kind of went from a guy that, I mean, I was on the fence maybe of trusting in the first and the second, but then the third one, you see he's a little crazy. Like, his whole race is just that way, I guess, and their devotion to Ghidorah. You know, seeing him go from someone you're like, okay, he's just a little weird, to he's insane. I thought that was pretty cool, too. I was like, whoa, this guy. I mean, even then, he made a lot of fair points where I'm like, yeah, it's like, yeah, humanity does destroy themselves. It's all this, it's all that. It almost does make sense. He says it in a way that makes it make sense, even though it's crazy.
Right. But, I actually feel that that was his goal the entire time, because if you notice in the first one, you know, whenever people talked, he just walked and smiled like, "Ooh, y'all have no idea what's coming to you." that was their plan the entire time. So
I'm not saying he changed his motives himself. I'm saying the change from us, from the audience member, just thinking he's weird, to us seeing that he actually is like that, that this was his whole plan the whole time. That was the, I guess, development that, you know, was pretty cool, or pretty, I don't know, interesting, if I want to say it that way, to see unfold.
So what you're saying is, rather than his character being developed, his character was revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he just didn't talk the entire time, and you know, he was more of the silent type. And the, is it Miana or Mayana? Which one of them talks to? It's Miana.
I don't know.
Miana goes to him and is like, "You're mostly silent because you are telepathic. You are like us." And she noticed that from him. And that's when his true character was revealed. And
yeah. I mean, by the time you
realize what's going on, it's too late.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, he had the whole thing kind of orchestrated to go and end up there, summon Ghidorah. I mean, as powerful as Ghidorah in these whole movies kind of is, I mean, it's kind of strange to me that he requires a guy to be summoning him, you know, and for that guy to not die, for it to, you know, be an effective process, if that makes sense. It's like in other movies, Ghidorah would just show up, start wreaking havoc. He doesn't really need, like, a human host to be guiding him.
Well, guys, Ghidorah, in this case, for all intents and purposes, is a god. Like,
yeah.
He's basically a god, because
he
comes down, even though I'm mad they didn't show a body or anything like that. They didn't show his full body. They only showed his heads. And I guess you could say the necks were elongated because of the distortion in time and space and all kinds of other stuff.
Right. That was pretty cool itself, of course.
Yeah, that was cool. It's just they could have utilized it a little better. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't know.
What do you think would have been maybe a better look for it, or a better way to, I don't know, portray the character?
Well, rather than come down in three separate heads, come out of a black hole full body.
Really? I mean, there's a lot of pictures out there too of, like, I guess 3D models, art of the anime Ghidorah with, like, a body and all that. I've seen them before. I'm just saying, we've had Ghidorahs with bodies before. This being a little different, kind of, I mean, like you said, it's trying to look like a god, it's trying to look otherworldly, and I'm really thinking, I mean, they succeeded in that. like it looks whack, it looks strange, and if not that, also kind of you know, just a bit menacing, of course.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, it looked okay for what it was. It's just as far as, you know, I don't mean to sound like one of those fans that just want to see monsters fight. That's not what I'm solely about. I like monsters fight. I like to see monsters fight, but if you're not going to have them fight, at least have them do something.
Something. I mean, for Godzilla himself, I know you're not talking about him, right? But, I mean, for that particular character, besides sleeping a bunch of the time, he did cause a bit of havoc for the humans trying to get their world back, like, annihilated their first fleet, was a big force in the second one, even though I guess his screen time was limited. And then the third one, admittedly, I'll say, yeah, it was a little strange. Like, the whole time he was sleeping, then third battle, he gets up and, you know, that was that.
Yeah, like, Ghidorah didn't even have any gravity beams or anything like that coming out of, he didn't have any sort of power except being there, being able to attack Godzilla, but Godzilla can't attack him.
Right, and, being sort of intangible, almost like a hologram.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's able to lift Godzilla and all kinds of stuff, but Godzilla can't do anything to him. Which, okay, I get it. It's cool. He's a god. He can't be touched.
I thought that was cool in itself, too, just because it's menacing. It's like, what can you even do to stop this guy? You can't. Besides, of course, going to Mephi is killing him because he's kind of in control of his actions or guiding his actions of Ghidorah.
Right. But overall, I just feel like the movie was fine for what it's worth, but it could have been better.
Right.
And
of course.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of movies. So this is the kind of movie where you think, excuse me, that a lot could have been better. I mean, with every movie, something could have been better. But just thinking that this is just, if there's going to be an example of missed opportunities, this is maybe one you'd think about.
What movie do I think was a missed opportunity?
No, I'm just saying, out of any movies that were missed opportunities, this is what you think would be an example of, you know, just the whole anime trilogy in itself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With anime done this way, you could have done so much more than what you did. But
right.
If the studio says, don't do this, then they have to find a way to do it, but not do it. And I guess that's the best way they could think of. I just know that it was a struggle. I kid you not. It was a struggle for me to watch these movies for this discussion because I couldn't stay awake.
I see. I feel you, right? Yeah, they're a little... I mean, they kind of drag pacing, too. Pacing, it's slow. Yeah. There's a lot of exposition. I mean, I feel it.
Yeah, like, so much was talked about, but, you know, I just couldn't stay awake through it. No matter what time I tried to watch them, I could not stay awake throughout the entire movie. So I had to keep cutting it back on, going back to the scene that I fell asleep on, and trying to watch it from there over and over and over. And it's like...
Wow, really? So, I mean, hey, if it's just not your cup of tea, I guess, in terms of... If it's not keeping you awake, then yeah, it's failing you as a person. I can see that. I mean, I'm more of a high-energy guy. I don't know if I kind of emanate that, but, you know, I watched him. I got through him. It's like... It's just something I can do a little bit better than some other people. I guess maybe it's about the person. Like, some people really like this. Some people are really attentive to what dialogue. Some people aren't as much. You think that would be a big thing about it?
Yeah. I mean, but I don't mind talking through them. I don't mind exposition. reality versus expectation. I expected it to be something that it was not going to be. Like, I mean, when the announcement came out for the Planet Eater, you're like, oh, good, we got Ghidorah. This is the, okay, put it like this. The first one came out. The expectation was, it's Planet of Monsters. We're going to get all the monsters, and it's going to be this big old thing. Then it comes out, and you're like,
it wasn't that.
This is not what I expected, but okay. We got two more movies to get through. This is just one. It's right. The introduction. Yeah, the second one to get better, and then the second one is announced. Oh, they bringing Mechagodzilla into this? All right, now we getting something good.
Right.
Second one comes out, and you're like, okay.
So waiting for the release of the whole thing in itself kind of maybe contributed to the whole experience when you first see them being, less than your expectations.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Planet Eater was just, everybody expected that to be this grand spectacle because it's King Ghidorah, Godzilla's greatest enemy, his arch nemesis. That's like Joker to Batman. That's like Joker not doing anything at all.
Right. I mean, if anything, what was I going to say right now? If anything, by the time the first one was over, I already kind of had a feel for the tone that the other two were going to have. And especially with the second, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the first one is this way, so I kind of expected the second one to be the same, especially when I actually started watching the second one, which is like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing as the other one. I mean, just in terms of pacing, the characters, the whole tone, it was very similar. So, I mean, I didn't have the same expectations where I thought, oh, Ghidorah's coming in. I thought they were going to do the same thing again, you know. I don't know. I just felt that way. Just because it's a little bit different to see movies change up so much from the sequel. Like, for example, as we were saying earlier, Godzilla 2014 versus King of the Monsters. I wouldn't expected it to just be so bombastic, maybe, the second one. Or I don't want to say bombastic, but, you know, it's just a lot bigger, a lot more of the abilities of, like, the characters being really flashy, showy, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. What was I about to say?
We were talking about expectations.
Yeah, it didn't meet some people's expectations, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, if you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't, you didn't. I fall in the middle. I liked it for what it was, but I expected better. But
so what would you have done maybe to maybe make it better, or in the future, what would you hope that they do?
Like, okay, going movie by movie, Planet of Monsters, I would have made the beginning the entire movie. I'd have done that. And not only that, but it would have been a quadrilogy, really. It wouldn't have been a trilogy.
Okay.
The intro to Planet of Monsters would have been Planet of Monsters, the movie. The rest of it would have been the second movie because, okay, they're driven off world. They're spending 20 years trying to find a different world. Can't do it, so got to come back. Then they, you know, it would have made more sense to do all of that stuff
together in one story, in one movie.
Or in a quadrilogy. But, yeah, it would have made more sense to do it all together. It didn't really make sense. It didn't have to be a trilogy.
Right. If you were like, if I got it right, you would have put maybe City on the Edge of Battle and Planet of the Monsters together as one movie. I guess, would you have taken out a little bit from either or both of those movies just to make it shorter? Because, well, wouldn't they be like 2 hours long, the whole thing together, or a couple hours long, both of them together?
City on the Edge of Battle, I feel, could have taken out at least 30 minutes or 20 minutes. They could have taken out 20 minutes and still got the point across. They didn't have to make it as long as they did, because that was padding and too much exposition and a whole bunch of other stuff that just really didn't amount to anything in the end. The Planet Eater, but going back to City on the Edge of Battle, what I would have done differently with that is, you know, okay, Mechagodzilla shows up as a city at first, but the final battle would have been fighting for Mechagodzilla and do it like that.
All right.
I mean, give the fans what they want while still doing your own idea. You could have done both. And if they didn't want it to be, you know, monster on monster action, at least, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, monster on monster action, if he's going to have the final form, Mechagodzilla, full thing there, that kind of is that. Well, monster on mecha action, if anything, right?
Like, one battle of monster on monster would not have hurt for each movie. And then the fact that, you know, you introduced all Turo and they don't explicitly say that Mothra is the god, is their god, but everybody knows that Mothra was the god and was their god.
If you see, as soon as you see the two twins, you know, oh yeah, that's
that's a giveaway,
right?
I mean, some people.
I'm not guessing they were trying to, you know, hide that or make that be a big reveal. Just trying to not say it, like.
Actually, I kind of think they were, because the twins referred to the egg as a baby chick, which gave people the idea, okay, maybe it's not Mothra, maybe it's Rodan. Everybody knew it was Mothra. But they also state that, you know, Mothra died in a battle with Godzilla. We didn't get to see that. That was in the 20,000 years with no people.
Right.
So that happened and like nobody even knew.
Right, not in the novels or any of the prequels like that they did. Prequel novels.
Yeah, I didn't read the novels or anything like that, but I did hear about it, and there was monster action all through that. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, you couldn't do this in the movie, but okay. But, yeah. The last thing that we're going to talk about is the Haruo sacrifice. What did you feel about that?
Sorry about that. No problem. What again? Sorry, something just fell for no reason. What was that?
Haruo's sacrifice. What did you feel about that? How did you feel about that? Do you feel that it was necessary? Do you feel that it meant something overall?
Well, actually, I think it did, because, again, you know, when Haruo, right? He saw that. What was the guy? The guy was fixing up the vulture, and said that he could, of course, maybe expand the technology using the nanometal. He's of course getting, of course, in his head, or he's getting his voices of Metfies himself, right? Saying, "Oh yeah, go ahead and basically go ahead, you guys, and use that metal to make another civilization. It'll just repeat what already happened, and your door will come again, basically." Or that's what it alluded to a little bit. So, in attempts to not, of course, have what happened in City of the Edge of Battle, you know, happen again, where humanity kind of goes full technological or even spawns a new monster, in attempts to prevent that, I think he kind of did is supposed to be a selfless thing, where he, of course, takes the vulture, destroys it, and at the same time kind of frees himself from hearing these voices in his mind. Like, it kind of sucked to you know, trying to enjoy this new life with the Hotuas or whatever. But at the same time, you're having Metfi's breathing down your back or in your ear 24/7 every time that everybody else does something even a little akin to trying to rebuild a civilization.
Right. I mean, I kind of felt that it was... Okay, I felt that it didn't make sense, but it kind of did. He decided to sacrifice himself because, you know, he can't live in a world where Godzilla exists.
Yeah.
And by turning that vulture on, it gave him a way to, you know, continue the fight, do it all over again. And that's that's not progressive. He is anti-progressive. He's like, let's do it. As soon as they get that thing going and make enough technology to be able to combat the monster, he's like, let's go.
I mean, so I don't know if Haro himself would be on board with that now where he stood at the end of that movie, because I mean, ultimately it's been kind of pointless. They've tried to go up against Godzilla and it just hasn't worked many times. I don't think it's because he was trying to avoid the temptation himself, for himself to attempt to kill Godzilla again with new tech that the Vulture could have made, right? I think he's trying to take away the option of humanity to have the temptation to build a huge civilization again, where, you know, humanity will either go completely techno, like the Villa Saludo, or, you know, or spawn another monster, or try to fight a monster that they can't really fight.
Yeah, but it was also, he also mentioned that of all the people who hate you, I hate you the most. Like, he said that as he was going towards Godzilla and the Vulture.
Right.
He said, of everyone, I hate you the most. I want you dead. So,
well, I mean, it's not like...
That,
I can't imagine him being that blind. Like, well, if you're going to dive into him, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to blow you up, or you're going to blow yourself up. And it looked like to me he had the intent to sacrifice himself. It's not like he was going in there to actually try to kill Godzilla. It was to try to get rid of the Vulture more than anything, of that tech.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying at all. Not only is he getting rid of the tech, he's also getting rid of the hatred, because he asked Mayanna, which I can't tell the difference.
But, yeah, me either.
He tells them, do you hate Godzilla? And they're like, I don't know what hate is. So he's like, okay, I do. So
yeah,
this needs to be a world where there's no such thing as hate.
Right.
So he decides to sacrifice himself.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it was worthy, but it was worthy, and the ultimate conclusion that I felt would have been necessary, because this is a person who, from the get-go, showed that he can't live in a world with Godzilla. But most of the other humans adjusted to it. They're like, we just want to live. You want to get rid of Godzilla. So bad.
Well, I mean, the guy killed his mom and dad. Like, he saw firsthand, you know, Godzilla blew up the ship they were on or something. So, I mean, I can imagine. I can understand him being the most hateful of him just because that happened. It's like, of course.
Yeah, if that was his drive, I would have accepted that, but that wasn't what drove him. It wasn't, you killed my parents, so I want you to die. It was, you drove humanity off. You made us look like punks. I want you to die.
Right. I mean, even then, I feel like in the back of his mind or whatever, maybe they didn't say it outright, but that still might have come from a place of his parents dying. Like, imagine this, if Godzilla didn't kill his parents, he could have been like maybe any other dude on those ships, right? Where it's like, maybe he wouldn't even want to go back to Earth. But since Godzilla did go ahead and do that, then over the years, he's kind of developed this mindset where it's like, you know, you didn't only take my parents, you took a whole bunch of other stuff from humanity. For example, our whole pride.
Yeah. I guess so I can see that. I guess I can see that point.
Right. I mean, there's just a lot. I think there's just so much I can think about, you know, that I can add to, I guess, a sort of headcanon that I kind of always make up for any characters or whatever. If something doesn't make sense, or if there's even a little bit of room for our interpretation, I just roll with it. I go like, oh yeah, this could have happened. This could have been something that we didn't see or hear about, you know, in the whole story itself. That's how I roll when I, you know, watch these movies.
Right.
That's just me.
I watch them as they're presented and then right. interpret them myself afterwards.
Right. But, well, different way to see them. Right, of course.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we got what we got. There's not, you can't go back from it. You can only go past it.
Right. My going past it. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, you go ahead. I was going to say something. It's fine.
Well, I was just going to say, at the end of the day, I could watch the movies or at least try to. I don't have a problem doing that. But it's always in the back of my mind, oh, what this could have been.
Right. Hey, I'll do the same thing. I mean, me being a fan myself, I'm not going to tell you that I was going in with expectations or even a thing that I wanted to happen, right? Like, I'm here on some forums, right? Godzilla forums or even Facebook. I'm like, oh, for the third one, it'd be so rad if Space Godzilla showed up. Like, I just thought, or if Mechagodzilla, of course, how cool is Mechagodzilla is going to be in this next one? Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff that I wish kind of happened. But as you said, it's better to move on. And my kind of moving on from the movies, if I didn't feel satisfied the first viewing, is to, of course, my moving on is to move on. But at the same time, if I'm going to think about them, I'm going to think, well, this is how I think maybe this is why this happened in universe, headcanon sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go based off what's presented.
Right. Yeah. As you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool as well. Hey, it's fine.
So... yeah, that's the discussion. I have nothing. Well, I do have one more, like maybe a fun fact.
Right.
Yuko, do you know her last name?
No.
Her last name was Yuko Tani, and in the beginning of Planet of Monsters, the old dude that Haruo references as grandfather, the person that he was walking with the day that Godzilla destroyed the ship and everything, destroyed the ship his that killed his parents. The dude he was walking with, his last name was Tani. So,
oh, wow. Huh.
He was referring to the old dude as grandfather, but him and Yuko have no relation whatsoever. Haruo and Yuko have no relation whatsoever. So my guess is that, and Yuko even refers to a grandfather in City and Edge of Battle. So I guess it was never confirmed or anything, or it never even talked about, but I'm guessing that was her grandfather. Like, he's been...
yeah.
Because I've heard people try to figure out the relationship between Yuko and Haruo. How do they know each other? She's never seen him before and all this other stuff. I'm like, that may not be true because her grandfather been taking care of him since he was little.
Right. I mean, if they're on the same ship for all those years, I'm sure I get acquainted to a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that I would question is they seem to have military rank, like Captain Sakaki. How did you become a captain? What led up to that?
Just happened. Leadership skills or whatever was needed.
Based on what merit?
Yeah. I think a lot about what, you know, headcanon in these movies, but that's something I really hadn't considered. Anything that happened while they were on the ship. Because, like, I can imagine that was a really boring time for, you know, the whole thing, just being on that ship.
Yeah,
not like, a lot to think about.
There not was a lot so
to
much
to speculate. Yeah, yeah.
There was so much more they could have, you know, reiterated on or shown throughout the entire, throughout Planet of Monsters, which is why I say it could have led up to a quadrilogy rather than a trilogy if they chose to do that, but they didn't, because they could have shown how Haro became a captain. They could have shown the relationship between Haro and Yuko, so there would have been no question whatsoever on that.
It wouldn't have been as strange when they kind of hook up or, you know, kiss in that second one.
Yeah.
Which, too, was a little, you know, it just came out of nowhere. I was expecting it because of the trailer, but it happened.
Yeah, it wasn't strange to me. I don't feel that it was strange. It's just that's the only girl there.
Right.
I don't mean to make it sound sexist. I don't mean to do that at all. But
I mean,
it's the only girl there. So
he's the main character.
And that's going to be the love interest.
Right. Yeah.
But there was nothing leading up to that either. As far as the development goes, there was nothing leading up to that.
Yeah, she
she saw a competition with the Haturo twins. She saw a competition and was like, hold up now. Okay, I have to show interest now. Which was like, really? Okay.
Well,
you didn't show interest in the first one. You was like, really? We're following this maniac? And now you're like, I love this maniac. Makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Pretty right. I have to agree on that one.
But it is what it is. I just thought it'd be a little fun fact to, you know, bring up the relationship between the Tanis and Haruo.
Right.
I guess that's his adopted. After the parents died, he adopted him. But you didn't see Yuko anywhere. And, you know, one other issue is, and I guess it's not really an issue, it's just a nitpick, but how Haruo wasn't the oldest person on that ship.
No.
Yet he was the only one who knew what Earth looked like and can remember any of that stuff. Everybody else was like, so we're really going to Earth? And it's like, that's your first time being there? How old are you? are all of the people going, are they kids? Where are the parents? They didn't show many parents, so.
Died or whatever, I don't know.
I don't know.
Or were amongst the, you know, elderly there maybe?
Well, they weren't that old, but.
Right. Right, of course. Yeah. Well, not that old, but older bunch, older crowd.
That's just something to think about. Wanted to mention.
I mean, hey, one other idea, maybe last thought, because you said that these couple other things you mentioned were sort of supposed to be the last things. I was thinking real quick, what do you think Haro would think of, let's say, Showa Godzilla or like Legendary Godzilla? You know, them being a bit more cooler dudes than Anime Godzilla. What do you think he would think about, you know, this alternate kind of reality where Godzilla is an ally to humanity and dancing and, you know what I'm saying?
I think he'd go, that's going to sound rude. He'd blow his brains out. After all of that, he would not be able to handle it. He's like, y'all befriended him? He's your ally?
Shakes hands with Jet Jaguar.
Yeah. But I guess, in a way, in Planet Eater, when a bigger threat shows up, he has no choice but to see Godzilla as an ally that he wants to kill. But...
Yeah. That's just such a weird way to... That's just such a weird thing to even say. An ally you want to kill.
Yeah. I mean, everybody got that one friend that get on their doggone nerve. But... Be like, Lord, if you weren't my friend.
Right.
But, yeah. All right.
Well,
That's it for today's session of Daikaiju Eiga Discussions. Once again,
glad we're well over. Right. And my name is Bryant Martinez. We're going to post this on YouTube, right?
Yeah, definitely. It should be posted tomorrow. I got to do some editing and everything. Probably add some music and some images. But yeah, it'll be up. It'll be up as soon as possible. I hope that we can do this at least once a week.
Right. I hope so too.
Yeah. What should the topic be for the next session if we end up having one? Didn't we already agree on that? It was like the original Gojira.
Yeah, I think we did with some of the other guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if they show up for the talk.
Yeah, I'll ask again what the, you know, topic discussion should be. But currently, it's the original Godzilla. And I guess we can go over the Japanese and English version, talk about how they differ and all kinds of other stuff. But we'll figure that out later.
Sure. I mean, that's just one movie. I love that movie, of course. I mean, the first one, right? Especially more the Japanese dub. But at the same time, it's just kind of one movie. I don't know if there's as much to talk about that, you know, I kind of had in mind with the whole anime trilogy. Now, just saying that I may have preferably wanted to talk about the Monsterverse just because there's more to talk about. But if we need to talk Gojira, we're going to talk Gojira 54, no problem. Yeah, I'm down with that as well. Just saying.
We could leave that up to a vote.
Right.
Democracy. But
All right.
All right, that's all we got. Like I said, the video will be up as soon as possible. All right. Thanks for talking with me, Bryant. It was nice.
All right.
It was nice getting to know you and everything, having this discussion with you.
Of course. It was cool being on here too. Yeah, thanks for, of course, letting me on. I hope I had a lot of things of substance to even say myself. Just, you know, I hope I was a good of a contribution to this whole chat.
Oh, definitely. All opinions are accepted and substantial. It was very substantial. That's no problem. I mean, deferring opinions, we agreed on a lot of things, actually. Despite having differing opinions on the movie, I still don't like it that much. You still like it. But yeah, I guess until next time.
Until next time, next week. All right. Yeah, take care, Derek. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.